This is called The Mistake, The Evidence, Obama is Not a Constitutional President. The theory is now a conspiracy, and facts don't lie, by J.B. Williams. He writes, though we live in an era when all undesirable facts are often blindly labeled conspiracy theories by political operatives with an agenda at risk, a very real conspiracy unfolds every now and then. While it is indeed true that not all theories are actual conspiracies, like when Hillary Clinton developed an imaginary right-wing conspiracy out to get her husband, when in fact the semen-stained dress proved all the necessary but unfriendly facts and a perfectly logical explanation for all of those nasty rumors. It's also true that some conspiracies are much more than just crackpot theory. To be a bona fide conspiracy, two or more individuals must knowingly conspire or plot, plan an evil, unlawful, treacherous, or surreptitious act. In politics or law, an agreement by two or more persons to commit a crime, fraud, or other wrongful act is a conspiracy. Not in theory, but in reality. Such is the case today. A political national committee, the chair of the party convention, the secretary of the party, party offices in each of the 50 states, and maybe many, many more have knowingly and wantonly defrauded the American election system and more than 300 million American citizens. They plotted and planned an evil, unlawful, treacherous fraud in a blind quest for unbridled political power, and they hoped that you would never catch it. They almost got away with it, too. They snuck it past 50 state election commissioners, Congress, the U.S. Supreme Court, and Justice Department, the Federal Elections Commission, and countless members of the Electoral College nationwide. Not a single member of the, as Limbaugh says, drive-by media caught it either. Or if they did, they decided to become complicit for their own political reasons. But as is always the case with liars, cheats, and thieves, they slip up. They make a silly mistake, overplay their hand, leave evidence lying around that they had forgotten about. And as with all chronic liars, they eventually get caught in their own web of lies. Then one day, someone stumbles onto that evidence, and the house of cards comes crashing down around them. It's almost poetic. The mistake. Aware of the fact that Barack Hussein Obama does not meet Article 2, Section 1 constitutional requirements for the office of president, what well-seasoned professional politician would be stupid enough to sign their name and stake their personal career upon certifying Obama as eligible? Presidential and vice presidential candidates are nominated at their respective party conventions. Believe it or not, each party is assigned the duty of vetting and certifying the legal eligibility of their own candidates. I know it's like the fox guarding the hen house, but hey, we're talking about a country which still thinks there is a separation of powers between the high court and the executive branch, which seats the court by way of political appointment, confirmed by Congress, which wants a piece of the judge and expects a few political favors too. The evidence. In this case, the Democratic Party was responsible for vetting and certifying Barack Hussein Obama as legally eligible to seek the Oval Office. The U.S. Constitution has only three very specific requirements for the job. The proper legal text used on the DNC party official certification of nomination document reads as follows, and I quote, "This is to certify that the National Convention of the Democrat Party of the United States of America, held in Denver, Colorado, on August 25th through 28th, 2008, the following were duly nominated as candidates of said party for President and Vice President of the United States, respectively, and that the following candidates for President and Vice President of the United States are legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the United States Constitution." And that was signed by, among others, Nancy Pelosi. And there is a typo in that statement. It's not my typo. It belongs to whoever prepared it, the official document. And this is an official document at the DNC. Did you catch it? And the typo in what we just looked at and read was where it said Democratic Party, you see, because it's not a Democratic Party, it's the Democrat Party. And on that copy of what you see posted, you see they typed it Democratic Party. The document is signed by the chair of the Democratic National Convention and Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat National Convention Secretary Alice Travis Yermond, and Colorado Notary Public Shafela A. Williamson, and is dated 28 August of 2008. However, this document was never delivered to a single state Democratic National Convention Office for State Certification. And it was therefore never presented to any state election commission as certification of these candidates, although I do have a copy of this notarized document myself. Instead, a very similar document was delivered to the 50 states Democratic National Committee offices, which those offices certified to each of the 50 state election commissioners, who then date-stamped the document and stuck it in a file cabinet and proceeded to place these certified candidates on the ballot. The official certification of nomination that was presented by the Democratic National Committee in all 50 states for the 2008 presidential election, in which Barack Hussein Obama became the new president of the United States, was almost identical, but it too was signed by the chair of the DNC convention and Secretary of House Nancy Pelosi, the Democratic National Committee Secretary Alice Travis Yermond, and Notary Public Shafela A. Williamson, and also dated August 28th of 2008. But this version of the document was missing the following text, and I quote, "And that the following candidates for President and Vice President of the United States are legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the United States Constitution." The legal certification text on the Democrat National Committee certified nomination document omitted that required text used for the Democrat National Committee ticket. And it was limited to this, and I quote, "This is to certify that the National Convention of the Democrat Party of the United States of America, held in Denver, Colorado, on August 25th through 28th, 2008, the following were duly nominated as candidates of said party for President and Vice President of the United States, respectively," eliminating the constitutional requirements. Oops, yeah, another typo. And this is obviously no accident. The reference to Obama's constitutional eligibility was missing. Was it an accidental omission? The proof says otherwise. The text certifying that Barack Hussein Obama was legally qualified to serve under the provisions of the U.S. Constitution has been removed from the document sent to the states. And yes, I have a copy of this version of the DNC official certification of nomination letter, too. In fact, this version is in the Election Commission files of all 50 state Election Commission offices, state Democratic National Committee headquarters, complete with date stamps, matching signatures, even the same notary public authentication, and absent the constitutional text. And just in case you're wondering, the answer is yes. This version also includes the same typo present in the version not submitted by the Democratic National Committee, but including the constitutional text, which means both documents must have the same place of origin. The individual at the DNC headquarters who prepared this very important document was not only a poor typist, they were sloppy enough to leave both versions of the signed documents lying around. Now, this is the stuff real conspiracies are made of. The implications. Please allow me to connect the dots. Number one, the DNC drafted, signed, and notarized two slightly different versions of their official certification of nomination documents, not one. And second, one of those documents had the complete legal language, and one of them was missing the text concerning the constitutional eligibility of Barack Hussein Obama. And third, the version which is absent any certification of constitutional standing for the office of president is the version that was filed with every state in the country, and the one used by the DNC to elect Barack Obama president. Oh, there's one more important document in this story, the Republican National Committee official certification of nomination for John McCain and Sarah Palin reads, and I quote, "We do hereby certify that the National Convention of Delegates representing the Republican Party of the United States, duly held and convened in the city of St. Paul, state of Minnesota, on September 4, 2008, the following person, meeting the constitutional requirements for the office of President of the United States, and the following person meeting the constitutional requirements for the office of Vice President of the United States, were nominated for such offices to be filled at the ensuing general election November 4, 2008. The certification of constitutional eligibility is there in the RNC certification of nomination presented to the state election commissioners. It's there in the document which the DNC had prepared, signed, and notarized, but not in the one delivered to the states. But it's not there in the DNC certification of nomination that the DNC used to certify and elect Barack Hussein Obama president and Joseph Biden vice president of the United States of America. And last, the fact that two DNC certifications exist, both signed, both dated and notarized by the same individuals on the same day, means that a very real conspiracy to commit election fraud was underway. And since it took until 6 months after the election to uncover it, the conspiracy was indeed successful. Are you still wondering why Barack Obama has spent nearly $1.5 million in taxpayer funds to race Justice Department lawyers around the country to stop all the cases questioning Obama's eligibility before discovery can force Obama to open up his top secret life? Now, I realize that the leftists, I mean liberal, no progressives, don't like getting all bogged down in minutiae and nitpicky details like the Constitution, but this is actually very serious business here. We're talking about the top-down leadership of the ruling political party knowing and wantingly defrauding voters by way of playing monkey business with fraudulent election documents. As Al Gore once said, the debate is over. There is no honest debate on the matter anymore. Obama is not a constitutional president, which is to say, we do not have a constitutional federal administration at present, and every anti-American policy of the last 6 months is also, bingo, unconstitutional. What is still in question, however, does any court in America have the backbone to do what must be done? What do the American people do if not one court in the nation has that kind of constitutional backbone today? Obama's Department of Justice has thus far been successful in blocking the people's access to the courts by claiming that no American citizen, including another presidential candidate, has proper standing to demand proof of Obama's constitutional eligibility for the office he fraudulently holds. To be very clear, the Republican National Committee nomination form filed with the state certifies that John McCain met all constitutional requirements for the office of president, but the Democrat National Committee nomination form filed with the states is absent any such important language. I know what I conclude from these facts, but what do you conclude from these facts? More importantly, what will a court of law conclude? Will they ever even agree to hear the evidence? The theory is now a conspiracy, and facts don't lie. First, I want to thank you for your comments. It's vital to the future of our nation that every American patriot awaken from apathy and engage in the defense of freedom, liberty, and justice. Comments on this story demonstrate that this is happening none too soon. I want to respond to several comments regarding this story. I was first made aware of those two documents when an anonymous reader sent them to me. The documents were posted here, document 1 and document 2, and provided these proper links to my September 9, 2009 column, Tennessee Grand Jury Joins the Department of Justice in Obstructing Justice. The poster has taken issue with a couple of typos in this column. They make a good point, but more importantly, prove a very important point about this story in that process. Typos are more common than not, and that's why it's significant that the same typo appears in both versions of the DNC certification document, like my column typos, which the spell checker missed in both cases. They are a way of identifying the authenticity and place of origin of a document. I usually take great pains to cross all the T's and dot all the I's just to eliminate any opening to discredit a story strictly on the basis of a typo. In this case, the story is of such magnitude that it was more important to get the word out than to wait for the normal editing process. My apologies for those typos, but they change nothing. Upon seeing the two DNC documents posted, I contacted several state election offices and requested copies of the DNC and RNC certifications filed, and in all cases received the DNC version absent the constitutional eligibility reference. Since the Republican National Committee document included the constitutional reference in all cases, and the Democrat National Convention document did not in all cases, I made the assumption that the same documents were fax-blasted to all states. Some states date-stamped and some don't. I have not viewed all 50 state filings. I recommend that each of you contact your state election commission office and obtain a copy of the document filed in your state. It has been posted here that Hawaii received a version of the Democrat National Committee certification that included the constitutional text. I have not verified this claim due to time constraints. However, assuming that the constitutional version of the document was filed in Hawaii or other states, This only further raises the question, why two different documents? Contrary to the assumption made by the Hawaii certification poster whether a state requires Article 2, Section 1 text in its certification process or not, the U.S. Constitution requires that all candidates meet those requirements, further asserting that only some states require the language in the certification document explains why the Democrat National Committee included the text in those certifications, but it does not explain why the Democrat National Committee omitted the text from all others. Why two certifications? The good news is that the Hawaii certification proves that both documents are authentic and official, that all matching signatures on both documents are authentic, and that the Democrat National Committee used both when only one with the constitutional text was necessary. It adds complete credibility to the story, as both documents appear to have not only been drafted, signed, and notarized by the Democrat National Committee, but filed differently in different locations. Why not just file one version which includes the necessary constitutional text? And last, this story confirms that some form of conspiracy to mislead and ultimately defraud voters took place at the top of the Democrat Party. At the very top. No story in recent history is of greater gravity. And yet, some prefer to focus their attention upon John McCain, who was not only a well-known war hero from a well-known U.S. military family of distinction, but a Senate-confirmed natural-born citizen who was not elected president. Others prefer to focus on a typo missed by spell checker, and still others hope to derail the story by asserting that Hawaii's document changes. The only question raised by this report, why two documents? Why eliminate the constitutional text from any of them? This is a very typical strategy of the left, and its purpose is to deflect attention away from the real crisis at hand and focus attention upon typos, other candidates not elected, and technicalities that change absolutely nothing about the story. The only question of concern, why two different certificates? And why omit the reference to constitutional eligibility regarding a candidate who clearly does not meet those requirements? I reported what I found in clear, factual manner, and even the comments seeking to discredit further confirm the basis for the story. So in the end, I must ask, what do you make of all the evidence presented? If I missed any typos, I apologize. Signed, J.B. Williams.